Hello, everyone. Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Starting a new book of the Bible today. Today we're in the New Testament book of Titus. There is 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. And then Philemon right before the book of Hebrews, if that gives you some idea where we are. The book of Titus is not a very long book, but it's three chapters. And so I don't know how long it'll take us to get through it, but if you can, open up your Bible to the book of Titus, and we will pray. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I should remind you that the Scripture Verse by Verse website is found at thebibleversebyverse.com, and that you can study the Bible in its entirety, verse by verse, with me, not once, not twice, but three times, going through the Bible verse by verse with me using my audio Bible messages right there at thebibleversebyverse.com. Doesn't cost you a thing except your time, and it's well worth it because it's the Word of God. Bible will change your life. Studying it from beginning to end, if that's how you choose to do it, will be an amazing journey for you. Let's do it together at thebibleversebyverse.com. And today, Lord, we ask again that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I can't remember if I prayed or not, but don't hurt to pray again, right? Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Notice what he says here, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. If a person is not going to minister, or if he is going to minister the word of God, or claim to be a Christian minister, or a Bible teacher, then he should minister in order to help the faith of God's people, to help them grow closer to Jesus. That was Paul's devotion right there. When it came to teaching the Word of God, he wanted people to be drawn closer to Jesus. You say, why is that so important? Because God's people need help in this world. God's people go through a lot of trials, a lot of struggles, trying to keep faithful when the pressure is on. And the pressure is often on in this world that is going against the grain as far as we are concerned, and we're going against the grain as far as they're concerned. We're swimming upstream against the world's tide. And so it's easy for a Christian to become discouraged and grow weary. God's people need help in this world. If nothing else, God's people need to know what pleases the Lord, and they need encouragement along the way with that instruction. Ministry is a call to be helpful in the spiritual realm. And so he says, I, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Boy, there's a mouthful there, isn't there? God tells us that we have eternal life if we have faith in what Jesus did for us on the cross, paying for our sins. Our faith is in the Word of God. Our faith is in the Word of God that tells us that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. Our faith is in the Word of God. Our faith is also in the fact that God does not lie. Who cannot lie? It's not just that he doesn't, it's that he cannot. He just can't. He must tell the truth. And so must I, as a preacher and a Bible teacher. And so should every preacher. We must tell the truth, whether I like it or not, whether it makes me popular or not, whether you like it or not. It doesn't matter. Jesus likes it. He cannot lie, and he wants us to handle his word, not in a deceitful manner, not in a manner that would draw attention to ourselves or make us popular, but just proclaim the pure truth, because that's what helps Christians in this world. That's what strengthens their spirit. It's the pure word of God. Whether it sets well with them or not is irrelevant. It helps their spirit. So our faith is in the word of God and in the fact that God does not lie. And the fact that God doesn't lie or ever even mislead anyone is a guarantee that the word of God is true, and that the word of God is true when he says that Jesus Christ saves us from hell if we repent and receive him as Lord and Savior. You base that faith on the fact that God cannot lie and his word is true. Verse 3. It's like Jesus said, not one word of Scripture will fall to the ground. He believed that the word of God was absolutely true, every single word of it. Verse 3. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. God put Paul in the ministry at the appointed time, at just the right time. It makes me feel good that God is in control, that he is orchestrating everything, because then I know that none of the bad things that happen catch God off guard. He saw it coming, and he allowed it for a reason. I am glad that God is driving, and he is driving, and our job is to be obedient to his word and let him take us wherever he wants us to go and let him do whatever he wants to do through us and in us. Just relax and go along for the ride and trust him all the way. That's what we have to do. And I know sometimes it's easier to trust God, and it's certainly easier to trust God and be happy about everything when things are going well and everything is comfortable and you got a big grin on your face and everybody around you is happy and that's all wonderful. It's a whole different story when things are rough. But God has not lost control, so you have to continue to trust him. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What's your alternative? Abandon God? Well, that's like jumping from the frying pan into the fire. That's the worst thing you can do. You might as well just hang in there with God and keep living for him and keep trusting him, even though you don't understand why things have to be so bad at this time, if they are. So he addresses this letter. It's from Paul, verse 4, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus is our Savior. He is our Savior because he saves us from hell. He saves us from the lake of fire. He saves us from a horrible eternity burning in the lake of fire without any hope of ever getting out. Torture that begins the second that you die and never, ever lessens. It never ends. It never stops. He is our Savior. He saves us from hell. He saves us from the penalty of sin, which is eternal death in the lake of fire. And that's how peace with God is possible. He saves us from sin, from the penalty of sin, from the guilt of sin. And that's how peace with God is possible. Outside of Christ, there's no peace with God. People who say they have peace with God and they haven't repented and received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are in a spiritual stupor at best. They're deceived, and it's dangerous. Verse 5, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. It is the job of the pastor to straighten things out, as Paul wanted Titus to do in this church. that he pastored. It is the job of a pastor to straighten things out. He is to draw a straight line by using the Bible. Straighten things out. If something is crooked, if something isn't quite right, draw a straight line with the Bible and make sure that everything and everyone in that church conforms to that straight line dictated by the Word of God. The Bible line of what is right should be followed, and he must make sure that it's followed. And if somebody is willfully rebelling against that straight line, they must be approached, they must be rebuked one-on-one, and then with a couple of people, a couple of witnesses, and then if he still doesn't listen, well, if nothing helps, then eventually you have to bar them from coming to the church, because you can't let the church be contaminated by willful sin. When's the last time you saw any church discipline in your church? I would say that many, if not all of you, would answer that, never. Never. Because very few churches do it. And I don't understand why, except for the fact that maybe the preacher doesn't want to rock the boat. Well, you better rock the boat, or Jesus will rock you on Judgment Day for not protecting his sheep, allowing evil to prosper. So he says in verse 5, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." Every church needs an elder / pastor. Somebody has to drive. Somebody has to be in charge. If there is a church of God, then there must be a God-called pastor to lead it, or you have anarchy. And I am very leery, with good reason, of these people who say, well, you know, we're starting a church, but we're not having a pastor. We're not having a pastor. We're just going to be led by the Holy Spirit. Well, you're already not being led by the Holy Spirit, because God says you should have a pastor if you're a church. And usually the people who say that kind of stuff and want to start a church like that want to run things themselves. They're very strong personalities that want to run things themselves, and that's why they don't want a pastor. And they want to disguise it as the leading of the Holy Spirit with their pious talk. I've seen it. I've never been a part of it because I won't allow myself to be a part of it, but I've seen it. Every church needs a God-called pastor, or elder, if you want to call them that, to lead them. Verse 7. For a bishop, well, actually, let's go back to verse 6, because he's going to give the qualifications of a pastor. And here he calls him bishop. Same thing. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, not violent, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober-minded, just, holy, temperate. Someone says, I wouldn't want to be a pastor because then I'd have to be all these things. I just want to be a regular Christian. Well, I got news for you, man. The things listed here are for regular Christians too. This is what all Christians should be like. It should be the norm for all Christians. The point is, if a man isn't characterized by these things, then he cannot be a pastor. And these are all character issues. Verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to confute the opposers. A pastor who doesn't have a firm belief in the Word of God isn't holding fast to sound doctrine himself. If he doesn't have a firm belief in the Word of God and isn't holding tight to sound doctrine himself, he's not going to do his people much good. It is the Word of God that encourages those who want to be righteous, and it is the Word of God that rebukes those who don't. And the pastor must use the Bible to do both of those things, to proclaim the pure word of God and rebuke the rebellious in the process, and bless those who are trying and who are doing right, because they need encouragement just as much as the other ones need rebuking. And the word of God and the Holy Spirit through the word of God accomplishes both those things through a faithful pastor who proclaims God's word without watering it down, of course. All this to say, the church needs boundaries. And that's what this is about. The church needs boundaries in what it teaches. The church needs boundary in the type of behavior that it condones. And those boundaries are found in Scripture. And it is the pastor's job to refute teachings that go out of bounds, scripturally speaking. And it is the pastor who must make sure that behavior in the church does not go out of bounds, scripturally speaking. He needs to do that to help protect the people. And he will answer to God as to whether he does it or not. 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. And that was a real problem back in the apostles' day, in the days of the early church. That was a very big problem. Notice what he says. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. A rebel, an unruly person, a rebel is someone who doesn't live by the Bible and doesn't care that they don't live by the Bible. They are unruly. And I marvel at the stupidity of people who don't live by the Bible and think nothing of it. They don't live by the Bible, and they think absolutely nothing of it while complaining about their rebellious children. Well, what do you expect? They get it from you. If you don't submit to the Word of God, then don't complain about your rebellious children who rebel against your authority. You're the one who started that mess. Why don't you repent? Submit to God, start living the way He wants you to live. Then you can talk about your children repenting. You have no moral authority unless you're living for God yourself. Verse 11. Let's read 10 and 11 together. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. They're in it for the money. Anyone who thinks it's unloving to point out false teaching that so blatantly disagrees with Scripture has a very warped view of love. They don't get it from God. What we believe matters. If one believes what is false, it's going to mean trouble for them and for their family. It is unloving as well as disobedient to not point out false teachers. It just amazes me how when I point out teachings that are absolutely false, especially when I name names, and I will name names if it's a public figure. I mean, I just will. They're speaking public. What they're saying is in the public domain. And if what they're saying is contrary to Scripture and they claim to be speaking to God, you better believe I'll speak out because that's my job. It's the job of any preacher to understand the Word of God, to saturate themselves with the Word of God, and then to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, the Bible says. And correct, use the Word of God to correct. God commands preachers and pastors to correct using the Word of God. So anybody who thinks that's unloving doesn't get that notion from God. What we believe matters. And if you believe something that's not true, if you're being led astray, that's going to affect you. That's going to have a negative domino effect in your life, and it's going to affect you. It's going to affect your children too. So it is unloving as well as disobedient to not point out false teachers and their false teaching. It's not being hypercritical to do that. It's doing the work of the Lord. God says they must be silenced. Verse 12. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." In other words, they're corrupt. And something that goes hand in hand with that kind of corruptness. They're corrupt, and something else that goes hand in hand with that is a perverted love of self. They don't care. These false teachers, they don't care about doing what is right in the eyes of God or doing what is right for others. Right or wrong, they will say and they will do what gets them the most of whatever it is that they want, popularity, money, whatever the case may be. Right and wrong is secondary. In fact, doesn't even register. It's not important to them. And that's in contrast to a faithful teacher of God's word, somebody like John the Baptist, who preached the pure word of God no matter what it meant, no matter what trouble it got him into. And believe me, it got him into trouble. He ended up getting his head chopped off, as did all the apostles. They were all martyrs, except perhaps John, and he suffered all of his life. So 12 and 13, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." And remember, this is the Apostle Paul speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, telling this pastor Titus to rebuke them sharply. Don't pussyfoot around. Don't tiptoe around the truth and tiptoe around sin and tiptoe around false doctrine. Stand up and proclaim it is wrong. Stand up and proclaim it publicly. It is wrong. I always get negative feedback when I step on somebody's toes. When I point out false teaching, there must be quite a few of modern evangelicals who just happened to land upon this ministry. I mean, you know, the kind that are used to watered down mush, and everyone is okay and everything is okay and not a problem. The only thing that's bad is when you point out that somebody is wrong, those kind of people who call themselves Christians. Because every time I point out sin and I point out clear false teaching and I use the scripture to do it, I get some negative feedback. Most of it is still positive, but I do get some negative feedback because I've stepped on somebody's toes. Too bad. Too bad. If they are corrupt and they are wrong and they teach that which is false, then point it out. Plain talk doesn't hurt when an immortal soul is at stake. That's why we have to speak the truth. A little plain talk doesn't hurt. A lot of plain talk doesn't hurt when an immortal soul is hanging in the balance between heaven and hell. You better do it. 13 and 14. This testimony is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. You know, correct them so that they start doing what's right and they start saying what's right. How are they ever going to stop if you don't make them feel guilty by hitting them with the word of God in a straightforward way? How are they ever going to feel guilty, and perhaps at least some of them maybe come to their senses before it's too late and they die and go to hell and take a bunch of other people to hell with them? How's that going to happen unless somebody stands up and speaks the truth? Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Don't be influenced by the commands of those who reject the truth. Don't be influenced by people who reject the truth and have all sorts of laws backing their false claims. Don't pay attention to commands that are contrary to Scripture and doctrines that are contrary to Scripture and those who speak them with authority. Some people speak lies with great authority, and they lead people astray by them because they speak loudly or they speak very adamantly. And it can make a lot of people believe a lie. But you don't owe anyone your obedience if what they command opposes the truth found in Scripture. In fact, you owe God your obedience to reject those people. And if you're a preacher and a Bible teacher, you owe God your obedience to point that out, no matter how unpopular that might make you. You're in this world to serve Jesus, not to serve self, not to become popular, not to have a big church. Do what is right, be holy, speak the truth, and live by faith, and trust God to take care of you through the faithful offerings or whatever and the prayers of people who love your word. 15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. So we see from this that holiness or purity, but let's call it holiness, begins in the mind. It begins in the mind. It begins in the soul. Pure actions, holy actions, flow out of a mind that is holy. And the opposite is also true. Nothing good will come from a person who allows his mind to dwell on that which is wrong. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. Let's stop right there for a second. Profess is the important word here. These false teachers make big claims about knowing God. These so-called Christians who follow those false teachers, and they claim that they know about God. And they claim that they know God. But their impenitent sinfulness proves that they don't. God talk doesn't mean anything. Just because you know the verbiage of Christianity, that doesn't mean anything. God talk doesn't mean anything if holiness doesn't accompany it. So it says again in verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. You can't do good if you're not good. Being useful to Jesus begins with holiness. Be a good person. Live a holy life. Don't commit sin. And when you do commit sin, confess it immediately. And God will use you to do good things. And you will give evidence that you are truly saved. Because apart from that, you have no evidence. And if you have no evidence, well, then you're kind of in trouble, aren't you? That's why the Bible says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. It's not that you earn salvation by being holy. It's just that if you're saved, you're going to be holy. And I'm out of time. Continue studying the Word of God with me at thebibleversebyverse.com. It's as easy as clicking on the book of the Bible that you want to study, clicking on the chapter, opening your Bible, and listening. Follow along and listen as I teach it verse by verse. That's at thebibleversebyverse.com. Please remember, I'm not underwritten by a large church or denomination. I never have been. This has always been a faith ministry. For well over 30 years now, I've been teaching God's Word as straightforwardly as I possibly can, as simply and as clearly as I can, to get you the truth. And I depend on people like you who love it, who love the Word of God, to pray for me, pray for this ministry, and also to click that donate button at the top of the front page at thebibleversebyverse.com and become a partner with me. Help me to get out the Word of God. We're in this together, you know. Those of us who love Jesus and love God's Word, we got to be in this together because it's a body ministry. So prayerfully give as the Lord may lead. I appreciate it so very much. I pray for all my listeners every single day. and I will pray for you. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long.